It's interesting, as I was preparing for tonight, that I kept thinking about and coming up within me the faithfulness of God. And then, but the scriptures I was putting together was kind of interesting. Had no idea what was going to happen today here in Tulsa, obviously. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to John chapter 16. You know, we should always be shocked, I think, and be taken aback when something like this happens. But yet, we ought to know that this world is not operating according to God's ways, God's plan. This world system, you know, I know when we were little, we sang, "He's got the whole world in his hands." Well, if everything that's happening is God's will, he's messed up. And my God, the God of the Bible, my God is not murdering people. Amen. My God's not causing earthquakes and doing all these other things that people want to blame him for. There is a God, the God of this world, little g, the devil, who man, after creation, handed over their authority to him. But thank God in Jesus we have it back. But yet this world is it's groaning for its redemption. And this system, all right? But we should not be surprised. You know, I don't know, sometimes I think Christians think that they're never going to have any troubles, that there's never going to have any storms come against them. Didn't even think about it till just now. You know, there in Matthew 7, Jesus said, he said, you know, the rains come, the winds blow. But those who build their house on the word of God and doing what God said, it stands. But the other people, houses fall. But you know what? I don't care how much word you've got in your life. I don't care how much faith you've got in your life. The storms are coming. And we need to be ready. And we need to know ahead of time and not wait for the storm to come. Jesus said in John 16:33, that's our first verse tonight. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Where? In him. Well, how many of you are in him tonight? In him we have peace. "In the world you shall have tribulation." In the world. And as long as you and I are on this earth, and the earth is in its condition that it's in now, there's coming a day there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. But as long as we're here now, there's going to be trouble and tribulation on this earth. Amen. Not one of us in here are going to live forever in this body. But we are going to live forever, right, in a spiritual body. But you understand that. Life comes and life happens and these things are true. But Jesus said, "Be of what? Good cheer. I have overcome the world." In him, there is overcoming. It's interesting when Jesus went on in John chapter 17 and prayed. Here as he's praying, you know, Father, he's about, many have called this the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. He prays not only to God for the glory and that he's preparing himself to do the work that he came to earth to finish. But then also he says, "I pray for these." And he pick up in verse 13, John 17:13 said, "And now come I to thee. These things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." And we just talked about that, you know, the peace and joy. He said, "I have given them your words, and the world's hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." How many of you know that once we're in Christ, we're in this world, but we're no longer of it? I go back to, you know, here just basically in a week, headed back to my home away from home, Kenya in East Africa. Made my first trip there in 1996, and I started adding up all the trips and the days, and I found out a very shocking thing, that I had actually lived over a year in Kenya. By making so many trips, and you know, I don't know how, but God, that's all I can say. But in talking to people, you know, you'd ask them, "Well, where are you from?" As we talk, you know, and they'd tell me where they were born and where their kinfolks were, not where they lived. Well, I live in, let's say, for instance, the one I'm thinking of, one man named Stephen Muga. Stephen said, I live in Kitale, but I'm from Game. That's where he was from. It's spelled G-E-M, but that's how he pronounced it there, Game. I'm from Game. Where are you from? I'm from Game. But you live in Kitale. How come you're not? No, I'm from Game. Well, I live here on the earth, but I'm from heaven. My citizenship is of heaven. Amen. I'm of heaven. Glory to God. Now, I realize I still got this flesh. This is what allows me to live on this earth. But I'm of heaven. My citizenship is of heaven. All right. And he said, they're not of the world. We're not. When you're in Christ, you're not of this world any longer. You're in it, and you have a purpose. He said, I pray not that you should take them out of the world. You know, Jesus never, ever offered an escapism gospel. Amen. We're in this world. We're not of it, but we're here to impact it. He said, don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. How many of you believe Jesus' prayers get answered? We have a right to trust God to keep us from the evil that's in the world. Paul prayed, he said one place, he said, pray for me that I'd be delivered from evil men. He said, all men have not faith. How many of you found that out? Not everybody out there believes in God, do they? Here just recently, I've just seen an uptick in mocking the resurrection of Christ. Supposed, you know, comedians joking about that, how far-fetched it is to believe in the resurrection. What's sad about it is one day they will, but it'll be too late unless they come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, if you can't even be saved if you don't believe Jesus is alive today, and if he hasn't risen from the dead, we're still sinners, the Bible says. I don't care what anybody else says about it. He said, verse 16 said, they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them, set them apart, he said. Keep them safe through your truth. Thy word is truth. Many times it was interesting as I was studying this subject that looking at the word faithfulness and the word truth, in the Old Testament, many times the word that's translated faithful and faithfulness is also translated truth. There is a connection between truth and the faithfulness of God. In fact, you could not be considered faithful if you're not a person of your word. Would that be a correct statement? If you're a liar, you're not faithful. How many of you know God's not a liar? So I want us to look at some things. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at some things here as we go along. And of course, the tragedy that's happened here today, but it's this world. Ephesians 2:12 says that people are living with no hope without God in the world. Amen? Now listen, if you're a Christian in this place tonight, you're going to have to fight to hold on to hope. You got to constantly go to the Word of God. Constantly feed yourself in the Word of God. Because the Word will paint a picture of hope, a blueprint of you living, being conformed to the image of Christ, which is God's design for all of us in Him. Is we be conformed into His image. Not conformed to the image of this world, but conformed into the image and transformed from the inside out. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, there has no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. Everybody say, God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. The Message Bible says, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. You know, sometimes, and the devil loves to tell you, you're the only one. You're the only one. You're the only one that, you know, had a bad upbringing. You're the only one that had tragedy happen in your life. You're the only one, you know, who someone you love betrayed you. You're the only one. No, everything, it's all common. It's part of this world system. Amen? He said, so realize that first of all. And with that, he goes on to say, all you need to remember is that God will never let you down. Hallelujah. He is faithful. He said, he'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. You know, as a Christian, we can confidently say with that scripture, I don't have a limit. You can't push me past my limit. Because when I end, there's God. Now, I found out this. The quicker I end, the more there's God. That's a whole nother sermon right there. Look at Psalm 37. You doing all right tonight? Amen. Psalm 37. Pastor Craig preached a powerful message on Sunday morning. You need to get a hold of that. Talking about these things talking about being led, Pastor Bill talking about being led by the Spirit of God. He mentioned again tonight. Part of God's faithfulness is to lead us. He's faithful to lead us by His Spirit in times of trouble. He knows the beginning from the end. I found this out June 30th will be 42 years of being a Christian. I found this out. God always does His part. He's always, in any situation I've been involved in, any situation I know of others, He's always done His part. Psalm 37, verse 23 says this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord will uphold him with his hand. You know, every once in a while, you might stumble and fall. That's all right. The Lord's hand is right there to pick you up. But look at verse 25. I've been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Glory to God. Amen. I've been young and I'm older now. I don't know if I can call myself old. If I call myself old, then what does that make the rest of you that are older than me? So I'm not going to speak that. You know, you older folks, older than me, like Pastor Bill. I'm not going to call you old. He's got 1 year on me. That's it. Amen. But never, never, never will God forsake the righteous. Oh, He's faithful. He's faithful, my brother and sister. Look over here in Psalm 34. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. See, a lot of folks, I don't know, it's just like they get the idea, well, I'm a Christian now, and I'm just going to, float through life. As Brother Hagin used to say, I'm flowery beds of ease. You're like me, you had no idea what that was. He would say things like that. But it's just like you're going to have in this world, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not having tribulation, you're not having trouble, you're not having persecution, you're not living. Or you're not living like a Christian. I don't know why I keep looking at you, William, but I'm just, you're smiling. Everybody, I'm looking for a smiling face, and there's William right there. All right? Look at Psalm 34, verse 19. I'm going to read this in the New Living. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. Glory to God. He's our rescue. He's our safe harbor in the storms of life. Glory to God. He's faithful. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. How many of you know the apostle? How many of you think the apostle Paul was in the will of God? Yeah. Anything ever happened to Paul? As he's trying to preach the gospel, as he's out there trying to obey God? Yeah. I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. It says this in the Passion. It said, the same persecutions and difficulties I have endured, you also have endured. Yes, you know all about what I had to suffer while in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. You were aware of all the persecution I endured. Yet the Lord delivered me from some of them. Every single one of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The righteous person is going to face trouble, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. The Lord delivers them out of every single one of them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm telling you, you can count on God. I don't know what's happened in your life up to this time. Life, you've had things in your life. We don't have time to take all the testimonies and all the accounts of everything happened in your life. But one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, I'll tell you this right now, my favorite phrase in the Bible is, but God. And there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it talks about how we had our life in times past in the lust of our flesh, and according to the God of this world, you know, when we lived that way, we were under his rule, under bondage to him, but God. When we were enemies of God, but God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were in trespasses and sins. Hallelujah. Jesus died for us. Jesus rose again with us. And now we're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I will say one thing about it. You know, I'm not sitting here telling you, first of all, you don't have to believe God for persecution. It's going to come. You know, Jesus talked about if you give up all these things, you know, and he said, you'll receive 100-fold now in this life with persecutions. I've never yet ever heard one person that's confessing 100-fold return confess and thank you for the persecution. They never claim that. Nobody ever claims the persecution, do they? Amen. Peter said an interesting statement, 1 Peter 4, 10. He said, after that you have suffered a while, you'll be established. Amen. You know, we're going to have tests and trials and temptations. We already read that. Thank God, though. He's faithful. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse 24. Faithful, he said there, is he that calls you, who also will do it. Will do it. We sang tonight, he did it. But I'm going to tell you tonight, he did it, but he will do it. Won't he do it? Amen? Won't he do it every time? You can't ever find a time where you went to God that God didn't do it. If you went according to his word, he did it. He's faithful, the promised. All of his promises are yes and amen. Not some of them, all of them. Glory to God. You go to God, he's not going to tell you, well, no, that doesn't apply to you. But now, brother or sister so-and-so, it applies to them. But that doesn't apply to you, because I like them better. No, God doesn't do that. Aren't you glad he's no respecter of persons? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. I mentioned this earlier. For all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. I'm telling you, if you haven't been, I mean, when you lay your head down tonight, thank God for keeping you from evil. When you get up in the morning, thank God that you woke up in the morning, right? Thank you, God, you know. Hallelujah. You woke me up this morning. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you didn't have to figure out some way to get the oxygen ready for the next, you know, I know you breathe it all night, but God's already provided it. He woke us up this morning, but thank God for being delivered from the evil. I'm in this world, God, but I'm not of it. And I thank you for delivering me from the evil of it. Now, Father, give me opportunities to take your goodness and your faithfulness to people that have no hope and they're without you. That's the only reason you're still here on this earth. That's the only reason you go to work every day. So you can pay your bills, so you can still be here on the earth and do what you need to do. Amen? Those of you who got children, you're here to raise up godly seed, glory to God. Men and women of God. Amen? Jesus tarries, they're going to be the ones that spread this gospel in these last days. Hallelujah. Look here at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. God is faithful. He's faithful, glory to God. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. He's faithful. He's faithful. Listen, just because somebody else doesn't believe it doesn't mean that God's not going to act on it on your behalf. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro, looking for someone. Someone who's calling out to him. Someone who's acting on his word. Someone that he can show and bestow his goodness upon. Amen. Look over in Romans chapter 3. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation here. Hallelujah. This scripture really has impacted. You know, sometimes you go and you read scriptures and times, but you know, here I'd say recently, when I say recently, you know, recently could be the last 10 years, you know. But recently, this scripture, then the revelation of it's helped me immensely to where I get to that God is right no matter what. All right? And let God be true, the King James says, every man a liar. That includes Tad. If God's word says it, and I don't see it or I don't agree with it, that doesn't make God a liar. That makes me. I've got to change to agree with him. He's not. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. There's no shadow of turning in God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But here in Romans 3, verses 3 and 4 in the New Living Translation says, true, some of them were unfaithful. But just because they were unfaithful, does that mean God will be unfaithful? Of course not. If everyone else is a liar, God is true. As the scriptures say about him, you will be proved right in what you say, and you will win your case in court. Hallelujah. How many know the devil likes to, he likes to bring you in. He's a prosecuting attorney. He likes to bring you in and tell about all this kind of stuff you do. If you're smart, Jesus is our advocate, right? If you're smart, you'll only say what your advocate tells you. Amen? And then let him present all the evidence. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm thinking of that sermon Tony Cook preached here years ago. The courtroom. Where's Greg? Is Greg Benedict here tonight? I don't know if he's here tonight. Marty played the devil, I think. Yeah, Greg was in it. Yeah, all these charges. Just laid them all. Anyway, Google it. It's probably on YouTube somewhere. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Why can we take God's word? One of the great truths that God laid upon Brother Hagin to teach was the confession of God's word. And in teaching the truth of God's word, suffered from Christians, not from the world, but from Christians, persecution and things said about, you know, they called it everything, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. As if saying what God's word says about your situation is somehow wrong. Bless their darling hearts and stupid heads. You know, you can say bless their heart. You can almost say anything about anybody if you finish it with bless their heart. Not really, but it seems that way, doesn't it? They are an idiot, bless their heart. Did you find Hebrews 10, verse 23? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. Now, how many of you have heard about Abraham and Sarah, what happened with them? Heard about them? They had faith in what God made them a promise. I mean, this dude is 99 years old, his wife's 90, and they're telling everybody they're going to have a baby. Because why? God told them. We talk about Abraham. Let's look at Sarah there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. How did Sarah get? Look at her faith. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now here I'm gonna say something to you now. In your life, you are the final judge. Are you going to judge God to be faithful to what he said? Are you going to judge God's word to be true? Are you going to let God be true and everything else a lie? Or are you going to let the world tell you what's true? Are you going to let society tell you what's acceptable, what's not acceptable? I don't care how much you're persecuted for it. You're the final judge. And whatever you say about the situation is what's going to happen. You know, those that say they can do it through Christ and those that say they can't are both right. Amen. But she judged God to be faithful. Now, she didn't start out there, did she? She laughed. And then God said, why did she laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. Oh, yeah, she did. She lied to God. Hey, God can bring his will to pass in your life even though you make all kinds of mistakes. Just judge him to be faithful. Stay with him. Don't ever give up. The devil loves to get people to give up. So let's end this tonight with 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in the New Living Translation. I'm telling you tonight, God is faithful. God is faithful. What he said in his word, he's going to do. All of his promises. Everything God said is true for me. No, I'm not going to pray, God, take me out of the world, but I can believe him to keep me from the evil in it. Now, how's he going to do that? Well, you're going to have to be led by his spirit, and you're going to have to be confessing the word of God. And something I like to do, and that I learned from the old time Pentecostals, and I've seen work in my life, I plead the blood of Jesus. And I draw a bloodline in the blood of Jesus and tell the devil, no further, you're not coming anymore. The blood of Jesus is against you, Satan. In the name of Jesus. You get the blood and the name on your lips, and the devil is bound. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. This is from the New Living Translation. As surely as God is faithful, my word to you does not waver between yes and no. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He is the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I preach to you. And as God's ultimate yes, he always does what he says. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. He is faithful. He is faithful. What God has said in his word. How many of you know we can count on the faithfulness to God that one day to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord? We can count on the faithfulness to God that as he is, when we see him, we will be like him. We can count on the faithfulness of God, though, that says, I will never allow you to be tempted beyond that which you're able to stand. But with that temptation, not that God tempts you, but with it, I'll provide the way of escape. How many of you know we can trust God that he's faithful? Whenever I, as a believer, lay hands on the sick, God is faithful to heal the sick person. The sick person will recover. God is faithful that when I give, it'll be given back to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall God cause. He's faithful. We can always count on him. And I know that life and tragedy happens in the earth. And sometimes it happens and we don't understand everything. But I know this, God is faithful. I know God is good. I know one time I preached a sermon, because one of my favorite movies is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Just play the music and I get excited. But I preached a sermon called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. God is good all the time. All the time, God's good. God is faithful. He's good because of his faithfulness. In fact, throughout the Old Testament, there's a word that's used that talks about the loving kindness, the tender mercies of God, the faithfulness of God. I looked this word up at University of Illinois, at Springfield, Illinois now. It used to be called Sangamo State University. In their library, they had a Judaic study area. And I went and looked this word up in there, and they said this word really had no usage in the ancient Hebrew other than to be used in relationship to God's covenant faithfulness with his people. He is faithful and true. He is merciful and faithful and true. He is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. And we have a right. You have a right to that tender mercy. You have a right to be protected from evil. Just don't sit back. Listen, don't sit back and let life happen to you. Take the word of God. Put it on your lips. Believe it. Judge him to be faithful. And see what God is going to do in your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you tonight. We thank you tonight, Father, for your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses. Father, we do pray and our hearts do ache for all of those who have been affected so negatively. And Father, for those people that are out there that they're so hopeless that the only way out is for that they see. They're so hopeless, the only way out is they see for them is to take other people's lives and to take their own life and thinking that that will solve anything. Father, we pray, Father, for laborers to go out, more and more laborers to go out, that each one of us would be that laborer. As Pastor Craig said on Sunday morning, that we would look at people and say, hey, are you okay? Is everything all right? I'm here if you need me. Let's talk. We take authority as Christians over a spirit of murder that's trying to unleash itself in a new way in our land and in our world today. That first of all, do not come near us because we are your children, but that you'll protect people, Father. Oh, thank you, Father, for those labors going forward to minister to those hopeless people. Thank you, you're faithful, Father. You're faithful to do it. What you said in your word, you will do. You're so faithful. We give you praise and honor in this place. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't want to leave here tonight without knowing him. If you need prayer for anything before you leave tonight, you come and get prayer. Ladies, come over here to our ladies. Men, over here to the men. They'll pray with you according to the word of God, because that's where answers are. It's what God said about your situation that matters. Find out. Let them pray with you according to that. I guarantee you there's hope for your situation. There's not one person in here who God can't turn your situation around, that God can't change your life in a moment. He can change it. He can change your situation. He's a good God, and he loves you. He loves you. Amen? And because God loves you, if you're here tonight, I want you to know, we love you. Everyone here at Raymond Bible Church loves you. I know we had some visitors tonight, but just know you're loved. Don't ever feel like I'm not loved, that nobody cares about me. We care about you. Sometimes we get busy too, and we don't recognize that you need to reach out. Reach out. Reach out. Say, hey, I need help. Don't isolate yourself. That's the devil. Amen.